KNUS. A pleasure and privilege always to be with you. 303-696-1971 is our telephone number. If you want to get in on the program, you know, in that opening bumper song coming back, there was a question of, I want to know if you're on my side. Well, as we continue now on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, someone you can always know is going to be on your side and on the side of justice is the district attorney for the 18th Judicial District, which covers, among a couple of others, Arapahoe and Douglas County. I know the other one is Lincoln County. What's the fourth county, George Brockler?
Elbert County.
And Elbert County. So those are the four counties that your judicial district covers. And welcome back to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. It's been a while since we've had you on. I think it was back during election season.
Yeah, it's great to be back on, and we've had a little stuff going on in the office that's kept me off the radio up until real recently, so thanks for having me back on.
Well, you are welcome, and I do want to thank you as well, your office, setting aside any politics and any partisanship and anything like that. For just a moment, the Liberty Day Institute is an organization, nonprofit, of which I am president, that teaches kids about the Constitution, and your office has some attorneys, and we're hoping to get you into a class that are visiting classes or have visited classes to speak to students about the Constitution. It's wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, we're excited. I'm just glad to be part of the program. You know, we've been big proponents of getting back into the community, especially with kids on a whole bunch of different levels. One of the big programs that I'm hoping Liberty Day can very quickly become as big and successful with them is called Leaders or Readers out of Aurora. And, you know, these prosecutors, support staff, paralegals, they'll go out into schools throughout Aurora and sit down and spend time with these kids. And I think it's great for both sides. This one, Liberty Day, it is a little bit closer to my heart, not just because of my occupation, but because of sort of my, commitment to wanting to see the Constitution not only advertised and promoted, but understood, you know, by this next generation of voters. Someday, I may ask these people to cast a vote for me. I'd love them to have a better appreciation of just exactly what that means.
We're talking with District Attorney George Brockler for the 18th Judicial District. So since it is Constitution Week, before we shift gears here, why is it important then to really talk about, learn, and understand the U.S. Constitution?
It's a great question, and it's one that, and Jimmy, I know that you're probably a third of my age, and that's great. That hurts every time I see you, and I think this kid could be mowing my lawn. I don't think we do as good a job spending real classroom time developing a real sense of civic responsibility and understanding of the founding documents of our country, and you can see where that pays off. I mean, that pays off when people grow into adulthood and begin to think of the government as that place you turn to when you need something, when you want something, when you need a promise or a guarantee of something. And if I can't get it myself, I'm going to ask the government to go take it from someone else and give it to me. And I think that's, first off, a misperception of what the government's role is and how it functions. But the Constitution, if someone just sits down and reads through it, it just gives you a completely different appreciation for what the founders had intended to be the strengths of this federal government, and they're limited. We have let them grow way out of control, but they were intended to be far more limited.
All right. I think that's very well put. So let's go a bit deeper here into the recent news, of course, with the Aurora theater shooting trial. I know you've explained this in a number of different forms. I want to talk to you about it again, which is the decision to seek the death penalty, which was unsuccessful in the end, but still it was a very hard-fought effort, and so many of us are proud of you for the job that you did and that your office did. It was a big team effort. But why was there the decision to go after the death penalty, especially with such strength and fortitude?
Well, I think it's just a matter of first impression. If you sat down with your neighbor and said, hey, did you know that if someone walked up to someone in Aurora, in Greenwood Village, put a gun to their head, pulled the trigger, that person would expect to get life in prison without the possibility of parole? They might say, yeah, sure, okay, that makes sense. You murder someone in cold blood, you should lose your freedom forever. That makes sense. And then you sit down and say, I want to talk to you about another set of facts. And these are facts about a guy, a first-year neuroscience PhD graduate level fellow who spent 2.5 months plotting the murder of 400 innocent people inside an enclosed box. And along the way, he would set up some of the most complicated booby traps that the FBI had run across domestically, as well as arming himself with an assault rifle, 2 Glock 40 caliber handguns, a 12-gauge shotgun, and 700 rounds of ammunition, including hundreds of rounds of steel-penetrating 5.56-millimeter rounds for the assault rifle. And that he went in there and pulled the trigger until the trigger stopped working because of a jam. And the result would be 12 dead and 70 wounded for attempt murder purposes. And you would say, should that guy that I just described to you get the same sentence as the guy who shot one person in the head on the streets of Aurora or Greenwood Village? And my guess is almost everybody in the state of Colorado would sit there and say, "That, how can that be fair? How can that be justice? Shouldn't there be an outcome more severe for the guy who wanted to murder hundreds of people and didn't but for the grace of God?" And the answer is yes. The state of Colorado, like the vast majority of all states in this country, continues to have a death penalty, and it's 4 cases just like the one we prosecuted. And frankly, given the speed with which the jurors moved through 3 of the 4 different phases of the trial, guilt all the way through weighing aggravation against mitigation, and the fact that it was really one holdout juror who upended the outcome, it tells me that the community thinks pretty much the way I thought about this case as well.
How surprised were you when the jury came back with the decision that they couldn't reach a unanimous decision?
At the moment, I don't think I was terribly surprised because there was a surprise earlier. Let me set it up for you. There, you know, once you get through guilt, once the jury very quickly rejected this nonsensical taxpayer-funded notion that this guy did not know right from wrong and couldn't form the intent to murder when he engaged in these heinous acts, you move into a sentencing phase. And Colorado doesn't mandate it to be done in 3 phases, but this is the way that this great judge, Judge Samore, decided to do it, and I don't object to it. We move forward. Phase 1 is we have to prove there's some aggravation. Jury moves very quickly through that. Phase 2 is where I thought, hey, if we're going to lose this case on sentencing, we're not going to get death. It'll be in phase 2, which is a weighing of aggravating factors like number of victims, torturous, cruel manner of death, stuff like that. That would not necessarily outweigh all the mental health stuff that they threw at the jury. If that had been the case, we'd have stopped right there and he'd have gotten life. In fact, that's what happens in the Dexter Lewis case up in Denver. However, this jury in 2.5 hours rejects the suggestion that mitigation outweighs aggravation. And they say beyond a reasonable doubt. At that point, I felt like, oh, this is it. We are going to do this. We're going to get them to the point of voting for death. They move so quickly through phase 2, it seems like it's going to happen. And then during the deliberations on phase 3, they asked to see the crime scene video. That was significant because while I was making the closing argument for phase 2, the prior phase, I told them, listen, if you have any doubts in your mind that beyond a reasonable doubt aggravation still outweighs the mitigation thrown at you by these taxpayer-funded attorneys, I want you to go back and watch the crime scene video so you can remind yourself of what this guy did, this evil that he perpetrated against the innocent and unsuspecting. They didn't do it. They didn't ask for it then. But when they asked for it in phase 3, that's when me and the other members of our team took a step back and thought, okay, they've got at least one. They've got at least one that is reluctant on death. And now let's see what happens. They watch the video. Within an hour or two later, they come back with a verdict. And it seemed to me at that point that I went into the courtroom feeling like, man, I'm sure hoping that they convinced that person. But when the verdict came back the way it did, mostly what I felt was disappointment followed by just the regret over the sound of the victims really behind me, kind of moaning and sighing and the sobbing that takes place when they realized that this guy wasn't going to get the justice that he'd earned.
We're talking with 18th Judicial District Attorney George Brockler. A moment ago, you said that their case and effort to try to demonstrate that he didn't know right from wrong was taxpayer-funded. What do you mean by that?
Well, so he gets the public defender, and it's not because he's indigent. It's because he remained in custody throughout this case. That's not unusual. What is unusual is that when the public defender represents someone on this case or any other case, because of the way the Supreme Court interpreted our Colorado Open Records Act law a couple years ago, they now claim an exemption from revealing a single penny that they spent of taxpayer money to try to get this guy off the hook, to try to get him something other than prison. And that's something I'm happy to say for the second year in a row, Pauli Lawrence is going to take the lead on trying to run a piece of legislation through that ensures the taxpayers have the ability to scrutinize one of the three branches of government, and that's the judiciary. It's long overdue. But I want to remind people that you didn't just pay for the district attorney's efforts in this case. You paid for the public defender's efforts in this case. The difference is we put on our website every penny we spent on this case, and we updated it every month. That's what good government is. The public defenders, you won't ever know a single cent that they spent because they'll refuse to provide it, claiming they're entitled to keep it secret.
And that is a real shame when you don't have transparency on especially such a large amount of taxpayer money spent in this direction. So good governance is absolutely a key aspect to any sort of job like district attorney or a public defender. Now, speaking of good governance and shifting gears here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show with George Brockler, there is a lot of talk about the prospect of a Brockler campaign for the United States Senate. Where are you on considerations for the possibility of running for the United States Senate?
First, I've heard those same things, obviously. I'd be lying to you if I told you I was oblivious to it. Second, I'm really holding out hope that the NFL offers me the commissioner position before I really have to make a move in some other political direction. I don't think that's going to happen. Although this whole Tom Brady thing, if that doesn't make you crazy, what will, right?
Absolutely.
And then the third part is I have given this significant thought and been dealing with this with my family. I've been talking about it with friends. That process, too, Jimmy, is just overwhelming and humbling. How many people I haven't even heard from in years that read a story about, you know, am I thinking about running for this office or has someone talked about me running for this office? People across the country, people I was in the Army with, people I went to school with who would reach out and say, man, I just read this thing about you. You'd be great. Please do this. This is exactly what we need is we need someone from who's not a career politician to get in there and try to figure out why can't we seem to make a difference regardless of whether you're an R or a D. That's overwhelming. That's humbling. I'm going to make an announcement on this in October. I'm not going to let this thing linger much longer. But so that's forthcoming here. It's just going to be next month.
Are there any particular issues that really speaking to you in terms of I could make a difference in this area?
Oh my goodness, man, the list is long. I mean, I think it would almost be too easy to look at just the latest vote that our current incumbent senator cast against our closest allies, frankly, our only allies in the Middle East. And choosing Iran instead, that in and of itself is infuriating, especially given that only 21% of the country supported this ridiculous Iran nuke agreement that was, and I'm going to use the phrase negotiation using air quotes that you can't see on the radio.
I know what you mean.
That was negotiated with the Secretary of State, John Kerry, and by the way, I do in my own head see some relationship, very tangential, but some relationship with the idea that, listen, the people that pummel me for, and they're the left and the defense bar, that pummel me for seeking the death penalty against this mass murderer, wanted me to just take the path of least resistance. Just take the path of least resistance and do what the mass murderer was willing to do so it would just save everybody some time and effort. I see a little bit of that in this, the idea that we should just take what we can get. We should just take what we can get from the bad guys in exchange for standing up for our friends, because it's just the path of least resistance. I think we need more than the path of least resistance in the Senate. Here's something else. My wife is a small business owner, started her own business 16-plus years ago, has a significant number of employees, and tries to keep this thing going, despite
you know what?
The fact...
Can you hold on? We're up against a hard break. Can we continue this conversation for just a few more minutes on the other side?
Take the hard break. I'll keep griping.
All right. We'll be right back with George Brockler talking about jobs and the economy. We'll be right back. Of course, if you want to join the festivities 24/7, 365, you can email me at jimmy@sangcenter.com. That's Sang with an E, not an A. We are talking with the 18th Judicial District Attorney, George Brockler. We just talked about, among other topics, the trial for the Aurora Theater shooting, and then also this question that's lingering right now out there, but we're told by District Attorney Brockler we'll have an announcement of some sort, one way or the other, in October, talking about this question of whether or not he'll run for the United States Senate. We were just talking about the Iran deal, and I wanted to give you more time on this because you started to talk about your wife being a small business owner. And really, that hits home with so many Coloradans that are small business owners or that work for small business, since we know that small business is the backbone of the economy. So continue that conversation.
I was thinking about it during the break, Jimmy, and the things I would want to spend more time talking about include how what we've done is, rather than have full-blown legislative debates over the individual burdens that we place on the backbone of the economy, which are small business owners and potential entrepreneurs. Instead, we've substituted a far less scrutinized regulatory framework that just beats these men and women down. And my wife's no different. And Obamacare is another huge burden for business owners to want to try to tackle. If you combine with that, and a lot of people don't know the phrase Dodd-Frank, but Dodd-Frank was a horrific compromise that took place during the economic downturn that shifted a tremendous burden in terms of regulations onto banks. And what you've seen are the collapse and the folding of small community banks, which are, interestingly, the very banks that small businesses rely upon in small communities to get their funding when they can't meet the big banks' criteria. Those are starting to disappear from Colorado and across the countryside. And what you also see are banks and big health insurers, because of the regulatory burden, starting to team up and merge. And that means less competition, less choice, and these giant behemoths. We've gone from banks that we claimed were too big to fail. We've made them now too big to be too big to fail. And that's something that's just got to change. It feels like, from my family standpoint, that the latest polling that you've seen, and it's for the very first time since this polling has been done, Jimmy, you may have seen this. For the very first time, Americans, by a majority, believe that their children will not do better than they did in this country. That's got to make your tummy hurt. I mean, that's got to put you in a place where you think, how did we get here, and how do we reverse this trend? And the only answer I can give you, the one that makes the most sense to a simple kid from Lakewood, is leadership. You need someone that can go there and fight for Colorado, not for the leadership of their party, not for the election down the road, but can stand there and fight for Colorado right now. I'm confident I can do that if I decide to take on that task.
Sounding a lot like a potential candidate for sure, George Brockler, District Attorney for the 18th Judicial District. Real quick, before we let you go, where would you say you fall down on the political spectrum in terms of being conservative and so forth, and why?
Yeah, I have no doubts that I am conservative and that I'd be viewed by just about everybody else as conservative. And in large part, I say that from what we talked about at the very beginning. It's a belief in the Constitution as not just the framework for government, but as the source of the authority for whatever it is that federal government does. It's a belief that every good idea should not be met with some legislation or some regulation that can help put it in place. But the government, in many cases, is the last resort. It's when we can't do for each other. It's when we can't fix problems ourselves. And frankly, this is something else you'll likely hear again if I make this decision, and that is we need to have a focus from our elected representatives of more Colorado, less D.C. And that needs to be the starting place for every single quote-unquote good idea that takes place in Washington. Is this good for Colorado? One. And number two is, can Colorado do it itself? And if you can answer yes to both of those, then D.C. not be involved at all. If you can't answer yes to number one, D.C. not be involved at all. The federal government has gotten too big too quickly over these last, well, how long has he been in office now? 6 years? And we got to stop it.
Well put, George Brockler. Hey, if you need a place to make that announcement, the Jimmy Sangenberger Show on 710KNUS is a certain place that you can consider.
Absolutely, my man. You're certainly on the list.
All right. Thank you so much, my friend. It was great to talk with you.